Hey, it's Scott Petrek with another episode of the Brown Zone Zone Coverage Podcast. After what felt like the longest preseason since they used to play six games in the Stone Age, the regular season is finally here. There's a game tonight, and the Browns host the Bengals on Sunday. That means there's a ton to talk about, as always, with Dave Chudowski of Go, the WKYC Morning News. Hey, Chud.
Scott, I'm fired up, man. There's not many Thursdays that are better in the entire year than Thursday night football to start the season. I'm pumped up. Got some steaks yesterday. I'm going to grill out.
Nice.
Since it's still beautiful weather. Got the Chiefs and the Lions on NBC. Cheap plug.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, how excited are we? We finally get Browns football on Sunday. I mean, listen, man, how many words have been spoken on this podcast? How many conversations have we had talking about this Browns team leading up to this year? And finally, we get to see them in action to find out what they really look like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, Chud, to personalize a little bit, I did all my season preview stuff, and it's going to start posting on Brown Zone this afternoon. I bet I wrote, I don't think this is an exaggeration, I probably wrote 8,000 words, maybe more than that, just in the last few days, just the stories about this season, right? So you get it all done. You get everybody excited. We've been talking about it forever. They haven't played a game in 2 weeks. Like, it's time, right? And, yeah, there's so many questions, and there are every year, right? You never know how anybody's going to look until the season starts. But I feel like there's maybe more questions this year just because there's a chance that the Browns could be really good, and then there's a chance that they fall flat. Like, I don't think that's an exaggeration.
No, I sent a tweet out this morning because I did some homework because I knew you would want to, and we will, and I'm going to plug it right now. Make sure you stay tuned and listen to this entire thing because at the end of this, we'll give our prediction on Sunday and our season prediction for our total record. And I was doing a little homework this morning and, you know, I went through the schedule and I went and looked at the Browns over under and it's 9.5. And I got to tell you, that is, I don't know. That's spot on. If you look at the schedule, I think 9.5 is spot on for this team. What do you think?
No, I agree with you, Chud. And there's some stat out there, and I don't know exactly what it is, but the Browns have been under the season total like 9 out of 10 years or something like that, which means, you know, they usually fall short of the expectations. And I think, you know, I don't know if Browns fans move the line at all, right? Because Vegas knows that they're so optimistic and will bet the over. But that 9.5 feels right to me. Like, that's right around what I'm going to pick. We'll do it at the end. But, you know, if you went 8.5, then I think everybody goes over, right? If you go higher, probably everybody goes under. So that feels like the right number, right? Feels like the right number. But that also means the expectations are high because if you're winning 9 or 10 games, you're in a mix for the playoffs.
Yeah, I just got done writing my piece and trying to figure out all the, you know, information I want to get out in my segment tomorrow morning on Go on Channel 3. I got my preview piece, and I was going through the numbers, and, you know, it's interesting, the Browns and Bengals and their history, especially of late, and just, you know, going through and talking in, you know, in my head about the expectations, and we talked about this last week, so we don't really need to get into it again, but you know, expectations are always high. I mean, how many times have we heard in Berea, Super Bowl. But really, I mean, this year, the expectations, this isn't just the, hey, we hope our team goes far. This is, they're all in. And if they don't do it this year, you know, heads are going to roll. Heads are going to fly, whatever the comment is there.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think the reality is that because they're spending so much money, right? The cash they had, I think they're spending the most money in the NFL from a cash standpoint. We know how much money Deshaun Watson is making, right? The $230 million guaranteed. We know about Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, right? We could go through the list. And if you're that invested is ownership and you feel like you're being told and you're watching practice, you go, okay, there's a bunch of talent here, right? My GM says this guy's worth $20 million and this guy's worth $15 million. Whatever it is, if you're ownership, you need some reward for all that money, right? You need something. You need it to pay off. And the only way he pays off is if you win a bunch of games and go to the playoffs. So I think you hit it on the head. That's the reality of the situation heading into this season.
So we're taping this on Thursday, obviously, because we just talked about Thursday Night Football tonight. So this past week, you know, did they have the entire weekend off, or was it meetings or film or anything like that? Did they just come back on?
Yeah, they were off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's a CBA thing.
Yeah, all right. So they're off, just catching everyone off. They were off on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They practiced on Monday. Then they had Tuesday off because that's their day off. So yesterday they were back on the practice field. So you're on your way to Bria after we tape this for another practice. So let's get everyone caught up to where we're at here. So one day of practice so far as of this taping, where are we at Denzel Ward-wise? He returned to practice, right?
Yeah, that was a big positive sign yesterday, Chud, the fact that Denzel Ward was on the field. Now, he hasn't been cleared, at least as of the taping, as of yesterday. He had not been cleared completely from the concussion protocol. But when you're allowed to practice, and it was limited, he did individual drills when we were there. I'm guessing he didn't do any team drills, where the reporters aren't allowed to watch when the team drills start. But that's like the last step, right? Maybe he needs to go one full practice where he's allowed to do team drills. And that's like that's the final hurdle to clear to get out of the protocol. But it's a great sign that he was on the field. It doesn't guarantee that he's going to play Sunday. And we'll have a better idea Friday, right, when the injury report comes out and they say, you know, if he's probable, doubtful. I don't think they do probable anymore, but questionable, doubtful, or just cleared. And, you know, if he's cleared, then he's going to play. That would be my expectation. So now there's a chance of a setback. You never know. Headaches could pop back up. Concussions are serious. They're fickle. Each one's unique. But it's a good sign that Ward was out there. And then if he practices again today, Thursday, that's a great sign. It means he got through practice Wednesday. Okay. He's taking the next step. So, you know, as of Monday, I was thinking odds of him playing Sunday aren't good. Now I think they're really good. And that's huge because of the matchup with the Bengals. They go so much three wide receivers, right? And it's Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, that you need your top three corners out there. And the drop-off from Ward, right, it would be Ward, Newsome, Martin Emerson Jr. The drop-off, now it's either Mike Ford, it's rookie Cam Mitchell, maybe you bring up A.J. Green off the practice squad. Like, that's a significant drop-off, especially for this matchup. So it's huge if Ward's able to play.
How about linebacker Anthony Walker Jr.? Is he ready to go?
Yeah, he said he was. He's not even on the injury report. Either is Sione Takitaki. Both guys had major injuries a year ago. They're going to be good. They're going to play Sunday. Now, you know, maybe they manage them a little bit. You rotate guys at linebacker. You know, they're not going to play a ton of three linebackers anyway because they're going to be a nickel and dime. They're going to play a bunch of nickel and dime regardless. Against the Bengals, they might be a nickel every snap. So that means you have two linebackers on the field. If they go with three safeties, that means there's only one linebacker on the field. So I don't think Walker and Takitaki are going to be out there, you know, 60 snaps. But they'll both be on the field. And that's huge because, you know, those are probably the two best linebackers. Now, you hope JOK becomes the number one linebacker. But I would say Walker in limited duty before he got hurt last year. And then Takitaki played until December. You know, Takitaki I thought was the best linebacker. And then Walker would be number two if he had played more.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks and stay with the injury theme and start with the guy we're facing. Joe Burrow looks like he's ready to go. He fully practiced.
Yeah, he said he's ready to go. Now, I listened to his whole news conference down in Cincinnati, and he left a little gray area, right? Like if the calf, he had a calf strain July 27th, missed all the training camp, all the preseason. If he said, you know, if the calf tightens up again, then we'll have to see, right? He didn't guarantee that he would play, but he said, I'm ready to go. I feel like I can be effective. He feels like he can move enough in the pocket. So he expects to play. He was full participant yesterday. Now the question is, right, they have a new left tackle in Orlando Brown Jr. They moved Jonah Williams to the right side. He's right tackle. Are those guys an upgrade? Because the Bengals have had a hard time protecting Burrow throughout his career. And then with the Browns' revamped defensive line, can they get after Burrow, right? And if he doesn't move the same way, is he more vulnerable? Can Garrett beat Orlando Brown Jr.? Like, I think that's a big matchup to watch, is how the Browns defensive line, and I want to talk about this in a bit, Chad. I wrote a big story about him for this preview section. How do they do against the Bengals' beefed up offensive line?
All right, we'll get to that in a moment. But let's finish up with the quarterbacks. And obviously that's huge whether Burrow plays or not, but I'm not surprised that, you know, he's back. I think when the injury happened, we kind of thought, you know, maybe there was a chance he wouldn't play, but just felt like he was progressing well. So I don't think this comes as a complete surprise, right?
No, I think you're exactly right. I as soon as I saw him running sprints like 2 weeks ago, I knew he was going to play.
Yeah.
And it's just a long time. It's 6 weeks, right? It's a calf. He's a quarterback. He's not playing corner, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's get to Deshaun Watson, brought to you by Petrax Pebbles, everyone's favorite breakfast cereal. And pretty cool that you're sponsored, by the way, for this segment. Where are we at with him? How's he spoke with the media yesterday. What was the theme there? What did you take away from listening to Watson? And also what the players had to say about him.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. You know, he said he wants to be better than he was when he was in Houston, right? Everybody makes this reference to, can he get back to 2020? That's when he led the league in passing and yards per attempt and yards per completion, third straight trip to the Pro Bowl. So, and it's an easy reference, right? Like, okay, if he gets back to that, he was considered a top five guy, then the Browns are going to be really good. He said he wants to be better than that. And that got some national run. Now, he said that before, so it wasn't like new ground that he was breaking there. But it's interesting that he believes that and that he talks like that, those high expectations for himself. What I thought was kind of fresher than that, because he said that before, is Anthony Walker Jr. going back to those 2020 days, and he played Walker twice a year, he played Watson twice a year, because Walker's with the Colts, Watson's with the Texans, and then there's, you know, AFC South together. And he just goes back to those days and said he almost beat us single-handedly twice. And the Colts had a good team back then. They wound up winning both games, but Watson threw for like almost, might have been more than 700 yards in those two meetings. And he just remembers how good Watson was and believes he can get back there. Said it's scary when Watson says I can be even better. And I talked to Amari Cooper. I had a one-on-one with him toward the end of training camp. And I said, we were talking about Watson and, you know, the time they've spent together and they're trying to develop this chemistry off the field. And, you know, I asked, hey, do you think Watson's motivated by not being in this discussion as the elite quarterbacks, right? Like a couple of years ago he was, and now he's not. And that makes sense that he's not, right? Because he hasn't played well, or he didn't play forever, and then he didn't play well last year. And Cooper goes, hey, that's the reality, but I do think he's motivated by it. And he goes, you know, that's just a competitive nature in him. And I said, well, if he gets back to that, you guys are going to be good. And he goes, he's going to get back to that. Like, he had no doubt in his mind. The way he said it was really definitive. And I guess my overall point here is there's a good feeling inside the locker room about where Deshaun Watson is right now, heading into week one with him being your guy. Now, he still needs to prove it, but these guys are around him every day. They watch him practice. I really do believe his teammates are confident that he is going to be, you know, better, the same, similar, close enough to the player that the Browns went and got, you know, went and made that big trade for, despite all the stuff going on, because he was so good when he was at his best in Houston.
You don't think that's just talking the talk? I mean, you feel pretty confident that he believes that?
I do. I mean, you know, I think you have to believe that. You have to talk like you believe that. But you know what? It's interesting, Chad. You know, this is a little minor, you know, playing a little amateur psychologist. I could see if you wanted to make the argument that Watson is talking himself into believing that, right? You have to get to that confidence level. He admitted last year that his confidence suffered because he hadn't played in so long and he wasn't playing like he was used to. But it feels real coming from his teammates. And I don't know if that's any more important or less important than Watson himself, but I really do think that his teammates watching him every day, being around him all offseason, they feel like he's going to be so much better than he was a year ago.
I got one for you. You know, I was looking at the 53-man roster has 23 new players on it.
And it might be 24, Chud.
Might be 24?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, to me, you know, if you remember last year, I kept asking you, well, how do we know this team's so talented? Yeah. I mean, we just say that, or I, you know, that kind of backs up my point, I think, a little bit last year, that I didn't think they were as talented as everyone made them out to be. If it was such a talented roster, that's a pretty big turnover, isn't it?
Chud, I think that's a great point. And, you know, you see a lot of turnover every year. I don't know. It's like I'm just guessing here. Not guessing, but it's somewhere around 40%, I think, is the average turnover on a roster. So that's pretty significant. But what I think is – I think your point's valid, and I think what makes your point even more valid is the turnover was at the top of the roster. Right. A lot of times you churn out, you know, the fifth linebacker, you add a safety, add a corner, right? It's special teams guys. Like it's all the, it, you know, how they churn over the bottom of the roster throughout the year anyway. The Browns, yeah. They go get Za'Darius Smith. They get Dalvin Tomlinson. They get Juan Thornhill. Like these were big moves that they made at critical positions, which shows you and goes to your point that they weren't where they needed to be from a roster perspective last year. And that was mostly on defense. And mostly on the defensive line, which is why it's Myles Garrett and a whole bunch of new guys, right? And Jordan Elliott, but it's mostly Myles Garrett and a whole bunch of new guys is because they weren't good enough on that side of the ball and at the critical position on that side of the ball. And that's why they had to go get a bunch of new guys.
Yeah, I thought that number was alarming. I'm glad I wrote that down and thought about it because it made me think back to last year and where we're at now. I mean, because we feel that way now, that this is a talented roster that we expect to win. And, you know, if they don't, it's going to be a huge letdown. So
there's no doubt. And not to interrupt, but real quick, I think you can look at two positions. You go Za'Darius Smith versus Jadeveon Clowney, right? I think there's hope that Jadeveon Clowney would play like he did in 2021, and he didn't. He was a disaster, right? Za'Darius Smith should be so much better. If he's not, the Browns are in trouble. You thought John Johnson III was going to be good at safety, right? He was their number one free agent that they went and got in whatever year that was, 2021, 2020.
Great point, yeah.
Right? And then they have to cut him and bring in Juan Thornhill. So you hope there's a bump there. So I think those guys just kind of crystallize that situation.
Well, you've been talking a lot about the defensive line. You said you wrote an article about that. Yeah. That's a key matchup for you for this Sunday?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's a key matchup, and really both ways, too. I think the Browns tackles need to block the Bengals ends, Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard. But, you know, we've talked about the D-line. We've talked about Jim Schwartz, and there's the new coordinator, and there's a marriage there, right? Schwartz needs his defensive line to be great. He builds his defenses around that front four, and that's why you needed to go get Dalvin Tomlinson. You needed to go get Za'Darius Smith. You go get Obo Okoronkwo, right, who I didn't even mention earlier. Because you're going to rotate a bunch of guys, you're going to attack. It's a different system. You know, it's go mess stuff up is a PG version. You just get in the backfield. You're not taking on double teams. It's penetrate, penetrate, penetrate. Make a negative play happen because the Browns believe if they can force a negative play and all of a sudden you're in second and 12 or third and 12, you can't convert. Then you can go get the quarterback, like really get after the quarterback. And that might leave you a little vulnerable to some things, you know, some run game. But the Browns believe this is the way to play in today's NFL. And I think they're right. And Schwartz fits in perfectly. They go get those pieces. So I just tried to kind of reset everything. And I talked to Myles Garrett on Monday. And he said they're calling them – he wants to call the D-line Top Gun. Because they've been throwing us around like, okay, what's the nickname going to be? And he liked Top Gun. And he said one of the reasons is he tells the ends, when you get to the edge, you got to turn and burn. And, you know, that's a fighter pilot thing. And I'm sure Tom Cruise said that to Goose or Maverick said it to Goose or whatever. So I just think there's a lot of excitement around this front four, you know, which goes deeper than that. It's not just a front four. You're going to see Obo and Za'Darius Smith and Myles Garrett with probably Dalvin Tomlinson in your nickel package. Maybe Shelby Harris, right? They went and got him once training camp started. They felt they needed one more D tackle. So not only is there excitement around this group, but they better be good. If they're not good, this defense will not meet its expectations and its goals. and the team will fall short, right? We talk about Deshaun Watson on offense. On the defense, it's this front four. And the other part of that is, can either Myles Garrett get freed up, right, by having all this talent around him where he takes that next step, reaches another level, even though he's had 16 sacks in two straight seasons? Can he take that extra step, become defensive player of the year? And I think there's a chance, right? The Browns are winning games. If they're just getting after quarterback in the fourth quarter, that helps your stats. And maybe Miles still gets double teamed every snap because he led the league last year. But if that happens, then Za'Darius Smith goes off, Oboe goes off, maybe Tomlinson goes off, right? Like, you can only double so many people. And if you're giving all that attention to Garrett, like I expect him to get, I think the other guys are going to have big years. And then it just all works, right? It's a, if Miles has, you know, he, let's say he still has 16 sacks, right? Which would be him and Reggie White, the only guys ever to get 16 sacks in three straight years. Let's say he does that, but the rest of the guys get 35 sacks. And all of a sudden the Browns have 50 sacks, right? 51, that math. Right? That's a huge step from where they were a year ago. They're getting production from other guys, not just Myles Garrett, right? Like, I think the number two sack guy last year was like 3.5 sacks. That's not good enough. You need people to balance Myles Garrett, and I think there's the chance to do that this year and the expectation that other guys can do that.
Give me that stat again about 3 years in a row.
Yeah, Reggie White from 86 to 88 had 16 sacks in each year, at least 16 sacks. Nobody else has done it in NFL history. Now, they started keeping the sack stat in 1982. So you'd say from 1982 forward. And Garrett's had 16 in the last 2 years. He's got a chance to match Reggie White. And obviously, Reggie White, Hall of Famer.
If he does that and has the year he's capable of and finally gets past all the issues he's had, and we don't need to rehash them, we know what they are.
Right.
It's possible he could be Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I did my season predictions, Chud, and I do that, and I picked him. Like, I think he can have that. Yeah, I think he can have that kind of year. He was dominant in training camp, and, you know, we can argue about what that means. But it just feels like he's poised for that kind of year. Now, he needs to stay out of his own way, right? He needs to stay healthy. And last year, he wasn't healthy after that car accident, which obviously was self-inflicted. You know, he fought through the shoulder and the biceps, and he still gets 16 sacks. So, like, he's such a, you know, we've talked about this 100 times, but he's such, I don't know, polarizing might be strong a word. But, you know, there's people that don't like him because they feel like he doesn't just meet those crazy expectations. Yet, if you take a step back and look what he's done, I don't know how you cannot be impressed with what he's done. But I do agree that there's another level for him because he's that talented.
So you said the D-line, their nickname for themselves is Top Gun. Is that what you said?
That's what Miles told me yesterday, Monday. Yep.
Okay, there you go. All right, Top Gun. We'll see if they can get it done. Two subjects really quick, because then I really want to dive into prediction time and the season win total. Dustin Hopkins. Any issue there? He wasn't at practice
he was back
Wednesday, right?
Yeah, he was back. He's going to kick at the stadium either today or tomorrow. You know, doesn't have the leg that Cade York does, so you probably can't try a whole bunch of 50-yarders. They probably won't try a bunch of 50-yarders unless end of game. Special circumstance, right? But should be more reliable, you know, 84%, I think, career field goal percentage. So he needs to settle that down because, you know, we talked about it a million times. Your kicker needs to make some kicks.
Yeah. One other topic, don't want to spend a ton of time on it, but I saw you put this on Twitter, and I saw it out there. And the reason I bring it up is because I have often thought this, and we've talked about it a little bit, that my concern – being in the shotgun a lot and, you know, I don't know. I'm very interested to see how Nick Chubb's going to be this year. Cause he might be on the field a lot more with Kareem Hunt gone, but yet you have Watson in there from the start in the shotgun. And we're talking about how the offense is based around Watson. Right. So, there's been some talk about, you know, Chubb's role in this offense and whether it might be reduced.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I think that's one of those mysteries heading into the season, Chud, is exactly how they use Nick Chubb. Now, if they get leads and can just hand it to him in the second half, like, that's what they want to do. So his numbers might not be affected, his total carry numbers, but I think they're going to start the game throwing the ball. And not that they're not going to run at all, but, you know, Deshaun Watson can run. You know, they're going to run some option looks. It's just going to look different. And I do think you'll see Chubb probably catch more passes than he has in the past. I think he'll stay on the field for some third downs when in the past it was Kareem Hunt's role. You just might not see 4 or 5 carries in the first quarter, right? Which fans always wanted. Whether or not it happened, they wanted that. So I still don't know exactly how it's going to look, but I think he'll be on the field more. I don't think he'll get a bunch of rushers early, but ideally, when you get to the end of the game, he still has those 18 carries for, you know, 100 yards, right? Like, that's the Browns' plan. You know, Kevin Stefanski said yesterday, he goes, yeah, you know, he goes, when you have Nick Chubb, you can't change his role. His, you know, but he goes, but our offense is going to look different. It always looks different. You know, so I think they're kind of hedging that a little bit. But yeah, I do want to see how it looks, because I think it could look at least a little bit different.
All right, anything else you want to hit before we get to prediction time?
Yeah, real quick, I had it just plugging the Browns on stuff that's coming. I had a one-on-one with a Q&A with Juan Thornhill that I thought was interesting, the new safety who we mentioned earlier. And then I sat down with Amari Cooper, and I just kind of delved into – he compared him and Elijah Moore to Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt from the Rams, the greatest show on turf. So we talked about that. We talked about how he and Moore are both really good route runners. So I have a big, long story about that coming. And I just thought it was interesting. I love talking to Amari Cooper. He breaks down the route running better than anybody I've ever talked to. And he thinks Elijah Moore is a really good route runner. He says the thing he likes best about Moore is he's small, but he doesn't play small. And he said that shows up down the field. A lot of guys get open down the field. They just can't finish the play because they're small. And he said Moore can. So, you know, that's another guy. Talk about keys to the offense. Elijah Moore is a huge one. And I just thought it was interesting having Cooper talk about those two guys together.
Yeah, big time. All right. Do you remember – what do you want to do first, prediction for the Sunday or season record prediction?
Let's go season record.
Season record. Okay. Well, I do remember this, that I don't I listen, they were 7-10 last year. I didn't think that was going to happen, but I think I went 8 or 9 wins or 10. I was much lower than most. I know a lot of people around 11 or 12. You know, I think I was at 10 or 9. I can't remember. Do you remember what you were at?
I looked it up. I went 8 and 9. So I felt pretty good about that.
Okay. Oh, you predicted them to go 8 and 9?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it was the year before I'm thinking of then. I don't know. Because they didn't have the
whole Watson thing. Right. Right.
Yeah, so maybe it's the year before I was thinking of where people – yeah, there was a – was it 2 years ago people were predicting them to win 12, 13 games?
Oh, yeah, they're coming off the playoffs and all that. Yeah.
That's what it was. Okay, so, well, I feel even better about my season. 2 years ago, I wasn't buying the hype. Last year, I think we were both around the same thing, right? Yeah. I think it was around that, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
8 and 9, that sounds about right. Okay. So 7-10 last year. Here we go. I mean, you know, I was looking up and down the schedule a little bit this morning and, you know, looking at that 9.5. And, you know, like we said, that's kind of right on target. You want to go first or you want me to?
I'll go first on this one, Chud. I went 10-7. And I have him going to the wild card or going to the playoffs as a wild card. I think Watson's going to be better enough. I think the talent around him is better and can support him if he has some struggles. I just think they're going to be good. Now, I think it's a really tough division. It's a really tough conference. And 10-7, even if they do that, might not get to the playoffs. I think all 4 teams in the AFC North are going to have winning records, which like doesn't happen. But I think that does happen. And therefore, nobody's going to run away at 14-3. I think everybody's kind of be bunched up together. But I think the Browns are going to win a bunch of games. But I didn't want to get carried away, so 10-7 felt right to me.
Amazing. That is exactly where I'm at, 10-7. Yeah. And I think if I were to go one way or the other, I would probably go down to 9 before I would go up to 11. That being said, I think that's kind of the sweet spot, 9, 10, 11, right in there. You know, I mean, you wouldn't be surprised if they won 11, I'm sure, and you probably wouldn't be shocked if they won 9. Am I right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's, you know, if they win 9 games, then, you know, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but then it is everybody safe, right? Like, it's a 2-game improvement, but you might fall short of the playoffs. Like, then you have some questions, some difficult questions to answer inside Berea, inside the organization. You know, I think if you win 8 games, then that's a huge disappointment. Like, you know, it's got to be at least 9 and make a run at the playoffs. And we'll obviously have to see what happens, how it finishes. You know, are you 9-2 and lose the last 6, whatever. But yeah, I just feel like they're going to be there. You know, I'm sure there's a doomsday scenario out there besides injuries, just where stuff falls apart, right? They go 1-3 to begin and then they can't figure it out. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to get off to a good enough start where they get their feet under them, and they're just going to be in contention, in the discussion all year long.
And if Myles Garrett is the defensive player of the year, Nick Chubb is Nick Chubb, and Deshaun Watson returns to what he was in Houston, they could win 12.
Exactly.
All right, we're both on record at 10-7, so there you go.
Real quick, do you have a Super Bowl prediction?
Yeah. Oh, man. Forgot we were going to do that, huh? Well, I totally forgot to do the Super Bowl prediction. I mean, I know a lot of people probably think Buffalo, it's their turn, but I just have a weird feeling about the Bills this year. And I also don't think the Bengals are going to get there yet. I think the Steelers are going to be much better. I'm not going to jump on the Jets train and put them in the Super Bowl. And that leaves us with
the Chiefs.
And I don't think the Dolphins will get there. And the Ravens, I know, are going to be, like you said, I kind of buy what you're saying in the division, that all of them are going to have winning records. I think the Steelers are going to be better than a lot of people might think.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Chargers probably wouldn't put them there. So I'll probably say that I'm going to go with I'll return the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. And in the NFC, should have had this more planned out for you. We'll go 49ers. Chiefs repeat, beat the 49ers. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, that's solid, right? Those are probably the two best teams, most talented teams. You know, it's so hard to repeat in this league. If you're going to do it, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are two guys that I like to give you the chance to do it. But I couldn't pick them to repeat. So I actually went Buffalo, Dallas, and I got Buffalo winning it. I have Buffalo as a wild card and then getting hot in the playoffs, because I think the Jets are going to be good this year. I believe Aaron Rodgers has another year left in him, but I just feel like Buffalo, there's a lot of questions there, but there's also a bunch of talent in Josh Allen. So, you know, I didn't think Cincinnati, not that they couldn't do it, they obviously could, but they've been good. It's hard to go to the AFC Championship game 3 years in a row, right? So I kind of went Buffalo was a disappointment last year. They had a ton of hype. Maybe this is a year for them.
Yeah, I just feel, for some reason, I feel like Buffalo is going to take a step back. I don't know why. It's just a gut feeling. I still, you know, they'll still have a great season, but you're right. I guess it would probably be their turn. Do you think it's possible it could be the Bengals' turn?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I think they're that good. But, like, it's just hard, right? If it's a hard division, if, you know, who knows, Burrow, if he's back to normal. Like, they're super talented. I think I picked them to win the division. So, I think they're certainly in the discussion.
So, Dallas, I'm kind of surprised on that pick. Why are you feeling Dallas?
I think outside of San Francisco and Philly, it's a little weak over there. And I think this is how I do most of my picks, and this is going to sound stupid. There's so much randomness in the NFL that one key injury and you go from being the Eagles to missing the playoffs, right? Going to Super Bowl to missing the playoffs. And it's just hard to repeat. It's going to be hard for Philly to get back to the Super Bowl. I think that division's kind of hard, right? I think Dallas is underachieved forever. You know, now Dak needs to play great, right? He needs to play much better. But I think they're talented across the roster. So it just felt like there was an opportunity there. And I'm not sold on Brock Purdy getting the Niners to the Super Bowl. So if I had the Eagles making a regression, not sold on Purdy, and I had to come up with somebody else, and I went Cowboys.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think what I will say is in the NFC, I think the Packers are going to be better than people might imagine. And okay. I don't know if the Lions will be as good as people predict. I think they're going to be better for sure. I'm not ready to jump on that train.
I completely agree.
Do you agree?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the Packers? You think they'll be a little better?
You know what, Chud? I like that. I'm not sold on it, but I like that thought. I really do. I think I heard Mina Kimes say the same thing. And Mina Kimes from ESPN said the same thing the other day. Like, if their quarterback plays halfway decent, they're going to be good, right? I think he's got a chance. So I like that pick.
Boy, you're right, though. Like, the NFC South, there's no team in the South that kind of makes you think they could go to the Super Bowl. And I guess, the Rams are way down. The Seahawks are okay, but...
Arizona's terrible, right? Like
Arizona might not win four games.
Right.
The Rams, no Cooper Kupp right now. Seahawks are okay. The Vikings are the Vikings. They'll do the same thing they do every year.
Yep.
So I could see where you come up with. The Giants are not. I think Daniel Jones and the Giants are going to have a pretty decent year.
It's going to be interesting, right? They were so good last year, surprised so many people. I wonder if they can duplicate it.
Yeah, I see your Cowboys. I definitely see that. But I'm the more, and again, I should have had this, prepared, but maybe since I wasn't prepared, we talked it out a little bit more. I'm going with the 49ers. And I agree with you on the Jets. They're going to have a good year, but I think at the end of the day, they're still going to be the Jets and not get there. And I can't argue the Bills with you. I can't. I mean, that seems to be a very logical, smart decision by you. So it's more of just a gut feeling by me pulling them back. And the AFC North is going to beat each other up. I do think Burrow is going to get there one day. I do. Oh, yeah. I hate to say it. Browns fans don't want to hear that. Why aren't we putting the Browns in the Super Bowl? I mean, is it possible they could get there?
That sounds like time to pull out the chart. I need to see it first. Right? I mean, that's a pretty big leap from never been to a Super Bowl, been to one playoffs in 23 years or whatever it is, and that they're going to go from 7-10 to the Super Bowl. Now, it's not saying it can't happen, but I would not make that bet.
Yeah, no, great answer there. Hey, here's a team to watch out for, too. Don't forget about the Jags.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're going to win. They should win that division, right? Like, that feels like almost the lock of a division winner. Now, not that the Titans couldn't pull something, Mike Vrabel and all that, but the Colts are going to be bad. Houston's going to be bad. Like, Jacksonville could win a bunch of games.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I'm just going Patty Mahomes. I'm going to go with Mahomes to win another Super Bowl. That's what I'm doing. So I'll go Chiefs, Niners, and you're going Bills to beat Cowboys. Cowboys. Yeah. So you're taking a leap of faith to take a team that's never won a Super Bowl.
That's true. Yeah, they've been to a bunch, though. They've been to what?
Been to a bunch, yeah. All right, prediction time. Ready for this Sunday?
I am.
All right, I'll go first since you went first on the season prediction. Here's the deal. You got the 100th edition of the Battle of Ohio. Bengals lead all time 52-47. Browns are 29-20 at home in this rivalry. Joe Burrow, surprisingly, 1-4 versus the Browns, but he's 0-2 in Cleveland. Now, last night when I went to bed, in my mind, I was going to pick the Bengals. But I have done a 180, and I am picking your Cleveland Browns to go 1-0 and do something they have not done since 2004, and that's win a home game as the first game of the year. That's how long they listen. They've all, what are they? What are they? Scott, 2-21-1. Is that right?
It's 0-4 in last year. Those are the only two games they won. Yeah.
Those are the only two. And last year was on the road. Now they've won some home openers where it was the second game of the year, but they have not won the first game of the year at home since 0-4. Only won twice. So in that regard, it's kind of like, hey, you need to show me you can do it again, right? It's been since 0-4 since you've won a game at home in the opener. But what trumps that is I got to see the Bengals beat the Browns in Cleveland with Burrow. I know they can do it. Listen, I'm not an idiot. I thought last night they were going to win. But I'm going to also go with the fact that, listen, what if Burrow isn't as sharp as you would think? Maybe he rattles that injury a little bit. I think the crowd's going to be fired up, and I think the Browns' defense is going to really bring it the best they can. The Bengals are still going to score points, but I don't know. I'm just going to go with the good vibes. And while the Bengals are a Super Bowl favorite, and, you know, if you look at the odds, many people put them as a top favorite, right? Yep. But you're not going to go 17-0. You're going to lose somewhere. And I think the Bengals lose this one, and I was between two different scores. It's kind of like 26-24, but I'm going to go Browns 24, Bengals 23.
Wow. I like it. I've been thinking the Browns are going to win this game for a long time, and just because they need it more. You get the Burrow injury, right? And not that he's going to be bad, but maybe he's not quite as sharp, hasn't practiced much, didn't play in the preseason at all. I think the Browns, you know, we talk about, you know, you're inside the division, you know, everybody so well. I think Jim Schwartz's defense gives the Browns an advantage that Cincinnati hasn't seen that up close recently, right? It's a big change. I think the Browns offense is going to look, like we talked about, different. So maybe it takes Cincinnati some time to adjust, where Cincinnati's schemes are the exact same, so the Browns feel comfortable going against them. It's at home, all those things, right? So I got the Browns winning. And I was debating about the score, Chud. I'm going to go 27-20. I think the Browns look good on offense, and I think they have a good day defensively. I think they have a good start, and it gets everybody excited, and then they go into Pittsburgh for a Monday night. So obviously the Bengals could win. Joe Burrow's great. They got great receivers, all that, and they're a Super Bowl favorite, like you mentioned. But I think week one belongs to the Browns.
All right, so we got 24-23, 27-20. You got them winning by a touchdown, and we both have the Browns 1-0.
How about that?
Yeah. Do you remember what our record was last year in the predictions? I don't remember.
I don't. I think you beat – I think we were tied, and then you won the last game, so you beat me. I think that's how it happened.
Yeah.
Somehow I don't know, like 10-7 or something. I don't know. It's something like that. Go to the archives. So.
Yeah, we'd have to. Anyway.
All right. Well, Chad, I got to go to practice. So,
enjoy.
Your interviews, whatever. But thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it as always. And next week we'll have a football game to talk about, huh?
Finally.
Yeah, it'll be good. So thanks, Chud, as always. Thank you guys for listening. And again, be a bunch of season preview stuff and game preview stuff posting on brownzone.com. So you can read all my work there. And this has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast. Thank you.